Welcome back to Canton Confidential, the Karen Reed murder trial. I'm Glenn Jones. This morning, another batch of potential jurors stepped into the Norfolk County Superior Courthouse for day two of jury selection. Karen Reed, the defendant, is accused of hitting and killing her Boston police officer boyfriend, John O'Keefe, with her SUV during a snowstorm back in 2022. Yesterday, we caught you up on the case. It was a jam-packed 30 minutes, from the cover-up claims to the whodunit theories that have split the town of Canton in two. Now, before all of the evidence can be litigated, a jury of 12 people plus alternates needs to be seated. Those seats are filling up pretty quickly. Out of a pool of nearly 100 people, four jurors were seated yesterday, and today another seven, so we're at 11. Just one final juror needs to be selected to get to 12, but you also need four alternates, and then it's time for opening statements. Our Kirsten Glavin is live outside of Norfolk Superior Court in Denham, where the search for unbiased jurors will resume tomorrow morning, Kirsten.
Yeah, Glenn, and progress is being made here, but because this has garnered national attention, it has been a challenge to select these jurors. Today, out of the pool of about 85 people, 60 raised their hands saying they had heard of this case before.
How do you like the jury so far, Karen?
Seven jurors seated on Wednesday for day two of the Karen Reed murder trial, bringing the total number of jurors selected this week to 11. A total of 16 are needed to get the trial underway.
She asked, you know, how many people were aware of the case, and probably like three quarters of the people raised their hand. So then I realized, like, oh, I was getting a lot of news coverage, you know.
Tony Pardo is one of the 78 potential jurors excused. He claims he's unfamiliar with the high-profile case, but says he works overnight, so dozing off during jury selection may have been why he was let go.
Just glad to go home and get some sleep and probably Google this and see what's going on, you know.
In court, the jury pool instructed to fill out this survey, which includes 29 questions relating to the trial. Some of those include topics like not reading any news or media accounts about the case, if a juror has been involved in or witnessed a motor vehicle crash, and issues with exposure to graphic autopsy photographs. According to state prosecutors, Reed hit her Boston police officer boyfriend John O'Keefe with her SUV, leaving him to die in a blizzard back in 2022. Her defense claims it was a cover-up by law enforcement, and on Friday named three people who were at the home that night, alleging they could have done it.
Sometimes it's not as easy as just checking a box that, you know, you've either heard this, you haven't, or you fit, you know, sort of in lean this way or not. It's really a lot of gut and intuition.
Legal experts say some familiarity with the case isn't necessarily a reason for juror disqualification.
Just because you've heard about the case doesn't mean that you are automatically excluded or you can't be sat as a juror. You really, at the end of the day, just need to be able to say, I've heard this, I understand generally what the case is about, but I'm able to keep an open mind. And that's those decisions that are made with the judge's sidebar.
Leaving court, Reed's attorneys saying the process could take a little while.
You think you get this done tomorrow?
I don't think so. We'll see.
Again, five more jurors are needed at this point. Four of those will be alternates. Glenn?
All right, Kirsten, so there have been two business days so far this week because of Patriots Day. We got two more left. What does the rest of the week look like for jury selection?
Well, Glenn, we're told that tomorrow is going to be about half the size of a jury pool of what we've been seeing the past 2 days. So we've seen about 85, 90 or so people in the jury pool come in. We are, again, expected to see about half of that slated for tomorrow. And Friday, there is no jury selection. So if those 16 seats are not filled by the end of the day tomorrow, we are expecting to see this trial and jury selection process go into next week. Glenn?
But it also means this trial could start on Monday. We'll have to see. Kirsten, thank you. As Kirsten mentioned, potential jurors are asked to fill out a questionnaire as part of the selection process. Each of them are multiple choice with yes, no, or not sure as possible answers. Let's take a closer look at a couple of the questions on the list. Here's question number 11. Would you automatically believe or disbelieve law enforcement, firefighters, or first responders simply because of their occupation? If you've had an experience with one of these groups, that will, of course, inform how you might answer. Let's look at question number 25. Do you believe Karen Reed should prove her innocence? This could be a tricky question because, of course, the burden of proof is on the Commonwealth in our system, not the defendant. Those questions offer a bit of insight into who the defense and prosecution might want to have in the jury box for what's expected to be a weeks-long trial. Now let's introduce you to the attorneys who will be leading those arguments.
Although Los Angeles-based, defense attorney Alan Jackson is no stranger to Massachusetts. He represented actor Kevin Spacey, who was accused of groping an 18-year-old on Nantucket. Prosecutors ultimately dropped the charges. He was unsuccessful getting the case dismissed against Karen Reed, but has leveraged media attention to win public favor for his client.
We're 100% convinced in her innocence.
David Yannetti is Reed's local counsel and has argued some of the most pressing pretrial motions. At the other desk in the courtroom is Assistant District Attorney Adam Lally, leading on all arguments from the prosecution. Adam's boss is Norfolk County District Attorney Michael Morrissey, an experienced elected official in the Bay State.
This will be the first statement of its kind in my dozen years as Norfolk District Attorney.
He got the final say on Reed's second-degree murder charge and on prosecutorial strategy. He ran unopposed in the last election, and the outcome of this trial could determine whether he faces an opponent in the 2026 election.
Joining me now here in studio is our Sue O'Connell. Sue, you've been in court both days watching this jury selection process. We got some insight from Kirsten there.
Yep.
Do you think we see the full panel set by the end of this week?
I actually think we might. Again, the problem here is we're going to have half the number of jurors in the possible juror pool.
That's right. Smaller pool to work on.
Yep. Yeah. So there will be less, but we need fewer. We only need, six, right, going forward. So today was at five. So today was a surprise. They got seven. Yesterday was just four. You really don't know because you don't know who you're going to get because it's so random, which is the joy of our, you know, judicial system. But I think there is a possibility because they are very motivated to get this trial started, too.
Yeah, you know, and I've been pretty impressed at how efficiently they've been moving. Mm-hmm. All right, because the jury selection is happening, the cameras aren't rolling, us at home can't see what's happening. You're in the room. Give us an idea of what's happening in there.
It's very frustrating because the rules have been the camera, obviously, we want to protect the jurors.
Absolutely.
All for protecting the jurors. But we're also not hearing what the judge and the lawyers are interviewing and saying to the potential jurors. So everyone is sitting on these hard benches for 4 hours. I get to get up and leave, so I'm not complaining about myself. And they're waiting for the number to be called, and then they go up, and there's an interview with them. Some are immediately dismissed. Some are talked to longer. Some have to wait. But we don't know if they're going to be impaneled or not. That's the other problem. So the communication in the open courtroom, it's frustrating for a journalist because we don't really know what's happening. We have to wait to the end to find out how many have been impaneled. So it's a whole lot of nothing in terms of just sitting and waiting and straining and looking at body language and trying to figure out what's going on.
Who else is in there? I know the journalists are in there in the gallery. Can witnesses be in the gallery?
No, witnesses cannot be in the gallery right now. From my understanding, there are some, I believe they're family members of Karen Reed that are there. And then after a certain amount of time, remember that there's such a big jury pool, they're taking up all the seats in the courtroom.
That's right.
And then they're letting some people in toward the end of the day. I think there's been maybe 10 or 12 people watching, but they're not on the witness list and they're not journalists. They're just folks that have come in, but they're not directly associated to the trial.
All right. So before this jury selection got underway, a buffer zone outside the courthouse was one of the contentious issues. The Commonwealth wanted it to be 500 feet. The judge decided in the end it should be a 200-foot buffer zone, and there's been some developments on that this week.
Yeah, we have a report here. We have an email showing that the group that wanted the buffer zone larger, the Freedom to Protest Coalition, as well as some other members, are appealing, it seems, to the Supreme Judicial Court to change the buffer ruling. Now, I'll note that what people have done, instead of carrying signs or saying free Karen Reed or supporting any side of this that they're on, they're wearing pink to show their support for Karen Reed. So I imagine the ACLU will get involved in this, and we'll see if the buffer zone changes.
We'll keep an eye on that as well, and you'll keep an eye on the jury selection process
for us.
I will
indeed.
Back on your post tomorrow morning, Sue O'Connell.
Sitting on a hard bench.
Of course, this is just the beginning. Jury selection resumes in the morning in Denham, and we'll have a full recap of what happened and what we can expect to happen next right here at 7 o'clock. You can also find our complete coverage on the Karen Reed case on our website, NBC10Boston.com.